Public health officials are using contact tracing to track and isolate people infected with COVID-19 or those who might have been exposed. This is a routine public health surveillance tool that can be effective for infectious disease control, but the workforce needs to ramp up in order to respond to the coronavirus. In this report, KUNR's Ann Gray and Lucia Starbuck team up to explore the challenges with contact tracing and how the Nevada National Guard will be stepping in to fill some gaps. We'll hear from Ann first.
Rio Lock-and-Lolly is accustomed to penning stories about other people as a criminal justice reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. But last week, she published her personal essay about her recovery from COVID-19. She received confirmation of her positive test results around the middle of April.
Something I wish that I had done is the second that I started to feel sick, I wish I had written down everything that I could remember that I had done and where I'd gone and who I'd spoken to.
The Southern Nevada Health District followed up with her in a call that lasted about 10 minutes, in a process known as contact tracing. Public health officials do this to try and halt the transmission of disease by identifying who else might have been exposed. Lock-and-Lolly says weeks had passed between the onset of her symptoms and the time she got the call, so she couldn't recall as many details as she would have liked of everyone she came in contact with. Lock-and-Lolly says it's most likely she became infected through her boyfriend, who's a first-year psychiatry resident at a Vegas hospital. As a precaution, he sought a test when she showed symptoms.
But what was alarming was my boyfriend, he was asymptomatic, so we had no cause for concern. He didn't show any symptoms at all. And had I not shown symptoms, we might not have ever known, really, that he came in contact with the virus.
In the aftermath, Lock-and-Lolly and her boyfriend are surprised that he didn't receive follow-up from the health district, despite testing positive.
They had asked for his contact information during our phone call. So I had mentioned that he was asymptomatic, but had tested positive as well and works in a hospital. So they took down his contact information, but he never heard from them.
Health officials nationwide and in Nevada have been advising government officials about the need to scale up contact tracing along with more testing as a strategy that could help states ease out of the shelter-in-place orders. But with a pandemic and a lack of resources, some cases could be falling through the cracks. The contact tracing workforce in Nevada is insufficient during the pandemic. That's according to the National Association of County and City Health Officials. The group recommends about 30 professionals for every 100,000 people, and based on the size of the state, that would mean more than a total of 900. The state had less than 80 professionals at the start of the pandemic. In addition to Lock-and-Lolly, KUNR received information from two more people based in Las Vegas who tested positive for COVID-19. Those individuals say health officials didn't reach people they've been in close contact with while they were sick. In an email response, the Southern Nevada Health District said it could not comment on individual cases.
The whole idea of contact tracing is interrupting that chain of transmission. You start out with the sick person and you try to identify all of their contacts. And then you call the contacts and find out if any of them are sick. And if they're not, we try to get them to self-quarantine so that if they do become sick, they won't spread the disease.
That's Brian Labus. He's an epidemiologist and serves on a 5-member medical task force advising Governor Steve Sisolak. Labus says that contact tracing is a public health surveillance tool that has been commonly used to control the spread of infectious disease outbreaks like tuberculosis, STDs, and bacterial meningitis. But the practice is not without challenges.
Well, people don't always return your phone calls. You don't always have the right contact information for somebody. You know, if somebody's sick, they don't necessarily want to even answer the phone. And then even if you can talk to them, trying to identify all the contacts could be a challenge.
In Lock-and-Lolly's case, she had been working from home for several weeks leading up to the onset of her symptoms. Aside from a few grocery store runs, she had minimal contact with others. Labor says even pinpointing locations a person has visited doesn't make the job of a contact tracer any easier.
So, for example, if I went to the grocery store, I could say that I was at that particular location, but I couldn't tell you who else was there.
But those aren't the only challenges. Dr. Trudy Larson is another member of the governor's medical task force and a pediatric infectious disease specialist. She says isolating sick people from healthy people is critical to mitigating disease. Contact tracers advise infected patients to self-isolate, asking them to restrict personal behavior for the public good. As states like Nevada eye a gradual reopening, regulating an individual's behavior for the good of public health is tough, but Nevada revised statutes allow health authorities to quarantine infected people. Larson acknowledges some may be weary of government overreach, especially as people are becoming frustrated with more than usual restrictions in their lives, and there have been protests statewide. Maintaining public health is a complicated struggle to balance personal rights and population health.
For all those protesters, I would love to say, okay, guys, you want to roll out the economy. Here's the steps to do it, and here's what you must do. Here's your responsibility. Because this is a personal responsibility issue. And until you understand that this is a virus, this is not the government, this is nobody that wants to tell people that they can't have their freedom.
For contact tracing to work effectively during the pandemic, more help is needed.
What we need to have is an ongoing and permanent group of contact tracers for the foreseeable future. So as we roll out the economy, they're there to be able to make sure that we can nip any outbreak immediately before it goes anywhere and keep those numbers down so we can continue to roll out.
In an email to KUNR, a spokesperson for the State Department of Health and Human Services stated Nevada is working to hire additional staff and recruit volunteers to help with contact tracing, but did not specify how many. The contact tracing workforce is insufficient in Washoe County, just as it is statewide. In the second part of this analysis, KUNR's Lucia Starbuck reports how the Nevada National Guard is stepping in to fill some of the current gaps.
Thanks, An. The Washoe County Health Department has roughly 25 case investigators, with about 15 members of that staff from the Nevada National Guard. Their role is to contact people who have tested positive for COVID-19 and then interview them to determine their symptoms, if they have had any contact with a confirmed positive case, and who they might have had contact with after getting infected. Patricia Carney serves with the Nevada National Guard. Before the pandemic, she provided social work and behavioral health services. She's also on track to graduate from the University of Nevada, Reno with a Master of Social Work degree. She says her background allows her to connect with people in vulnerable situations.
You have to be very compassionate. You know, you have to be able to build that rapport with people. It's not just, hey, you have COVID and give me all your information. It's, hey, letting you know that you have COVID, how are you doing, and building that rapport with them, because they're people first. They're not just a number.
Carney says these calls last from 20 to 40 minutes. She's also bilingual and able to reach Spanish speakers.
Just really empowering to them to be able to speak somebody in their own language and feel that compassion come across versus having their children talk for them. And they almost feel like that child again. I just really have connected with this community.
At the beginning of this week, there are more than 240 active cases in Washoe County among the Hispanic population, and that's more than double the cases among white people, which is a little over 100. Washoe County health officials say identifying race is optional, so this information is incomplete. Aside from language barriers, there are other challenges with case management. Imagine trying to explain a virus that healthcare experts are still actively trying to figure out. According to Heather Kerwin, the epidemiology program manager for the Washoe County Health District, training people to help with investigating cases of COVID-19 is a long process.
There's, you know, the need for a basic understanding of biology and virology with this to be able to speak proficiently to cases when they have questions, as well as their contacts who may have just all sorts of burning questions when you pick up the phone and let them know they've either tested positive or have been exposed to someone who's positive.
And that data they're collecting is essential for public health officials to have to figure out how to slow the spread of the disease.
We're making sure that people are able to provide accurate and reliable up-to-date information.
Kerwin says each positive COVID-19 case generates 3 to 17 possible contacts. Close contacts are defined as someone who spent 10 minutes or more within a 6-foot radius of someone who is infected. And there's even more to consider. Contact tracers also try to identify anyone who spent time with a COVID-19 patient 48 hours before the person started showing symptoms. And that window could have included any contact as much as 7 days or more after. Contact tracers first look to household contacts and then the workplace. Kerwin says pinpointing contacts outside of the household can be really difficult. Take, for example, someone who may have traveled to a conference.
For something like a respiratory disease, it's much more difficult because you may not know the name of a person you were standing in a huddle with for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or that you sat around a meeting table with. And we're talking about something that's passed through air, even through just speaking and communication. You don't have to be actively coughing or sneezing necessarily to pass this.
Washoe County Chairman Bob Lucy says as officials start easing restrictions, there's also the responsibility to protect public health with increased measures like contact tracing. This would include asking people who have been exposed to self-isolate, which officials say that also means people who aren't showing symptoms.
Quarantine and safety procedures have been the best course of action to really controlling this. And as we move into that new normal, and as we continue to work on reopening our businesses and reigniting our healthcare and reigniting the way we do business, it's going to be important that those that are sick stay home.
Even though the Nevada National Guard is helping with contact tracing right now, Washoe County Health District Officer Kevin Dick says it's a temporary fix and the county needs to figure out a long-term solution.
We've been fortunate with the National Guard integrating with our staff that they've been able to help us with increasing our staff that's working on that contact tracing function. The Guard will be standing down in the future, and so we're working on our plans for filling those positions and having everybody in place moving forward.
Governor Steve Sisolak said all counties in Nevada must meet necessary requirements to begin reopening. Public health officials say contact tracing will need to ramp up before a move to reopen should happen. But it's more than just that. Sisolak wants to see sufficient personal protective equipment, adequate hospital capacity, a steady decline in positive COVID-19 cases, and increased testing. For KUNR News, I'm Lucia Starbuck.
For KUNR News, I'm Awn Gray.
This story was produced with support from the Mick Hitchcock Project for Visualizing Science at the Reynolds School of Journalism.